This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony today, and today we celebrate the beheading of John the Baptist.
Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, who he had married. John said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. She had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. Herodias' own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and all of his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" She replied, "The head of St. John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl in turn gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it on the tomb.
They came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Yes, John the Baptist, the one who said, "He must increase and I must decrease." The one who said, "I am not the Messiah. I am the herald of the Messiah, preparing the way." And that's your job, to prepare the way for Jesus. That's your job. You are the John the Baptist in your community, and you must take this seriously because it's a gift from God. You are John the Baptist. You and I must decrease, and he must increase. How are people to know about the experience of salvation unless you tell them, unless you go forth and tell people there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus? Oh no. Buddha on his deathbed said, "I still seek the truth." Jesus, on the night before he died, said, "I am the truth." And it is your job and vocation and privilege to tell people, "I am not the Messiah, but I know one who is, and he wants to come and live in your heart."
And Jesus wants to encounter that person now. Right now, he wants to encounter you. And as you go and you tell people about Jesus, you tell them Jesus wants to save you now. Jesus wants to heal you now. So give me your hand so I can pray for you. Very often I've realized people, they get timid by the word pray. So I say, can I bless you? And for some reason, the word bless you opens up the door where the word I want to pray for you might close that door very often. You know, we ask the Lord to give us the spirit of wisdom. But you want to speak what Jesus wants to do for them now. Not that hell is real and they're going to hell. That's real. But the same God who created you, created this universe, created this earth, sent me here because he wants to bless you now. He wants to give you an encounter of heaven now. And there's nothing you need to do besides give me your hand and open your heart. Who does not want to be blessed? Who does not want to be told they are loved? Who does not want to encounter the living God?
People are open to be blessed. I remember a young man came to me and I asked him, can I pray over you? He said, no. Then I said, can I bless you? He said, yes. And I blessed him, put my hand on his head, and gave him a blessing. And I saw his eyes moving. And I knew he was seeing something, someone that I wasn't seeing. It was Jesus. And he said, when it was finished, he looked nothing like I thought he would look. His skin was olive skin, and his hair as white as snow. From the book of Daniel. A blessing. He got so blessed that he fell on the floor and had visions of Jesus. That's wonderful. That's what, and you know what? Slewfoot wanted to enter in because there was someone at the door selling chalices. And they said, can we sell chalices to you? I said, get out of here. I'm ministering to a child of God. I tell you, he, even though he rejects that it happened, he knows in his innermost being that it happened. Oh, yes. I said to him one day, do you remember what happened when we blessed you? He said, it was a dream. It was a dream. I said, no, it was an encounter. You encountered Jesus. He said, I didn't. I said, well, I know you did. And I'm not here to fight with you. I know you did. And he did it because he loves you.
So, Father, as we preach in Jesus' name, we pray that you release the glory and the fire of God to everyone listening. By the Holy Spirit, that living encounter through the airwaves, that people need to know Jesus, not just in your head, but in your heart. The whole goal of the Christian life is to live from your heart. Out of your heart, the power of God flows. The issues of life flow. Lately, I've been got a little new job, and I've been having to take Ubers, but it's kind of been changing my life. Every time I get into Uber, I got a captive audience, and I wait, and I just pray, and at the end, I begin to tell the people what Jesus has done for me. A lot of times, people don't want to be told what to do. You got to get past the pride in the flesh, but when you just start being full of love and being like, you'll never believe what Jesus has done for me and how he's encountered me. And you start speaking from your heart and you start speaking with the passion and the love of heaven. It attracts people. They say, I don't know what's in him, but I want what he has. I want what he has. The only way to evangelize is to make people desire what God has given to you. That they want the light of God that is within you. And you can't fake that light. So as I've been telling them what God did for me. I say it's not because I'm special. It's because God's special. It's not because this is what God did for me. God sent me in this Uber because he wants to do it for you right now. And I'm going to bless you. A lot of time I don't ask them. I just tell them. I'm going to bless you. It's a way of being an authority and people not let making people have to battle and make decisions. God sent me here so that you could be blessed. Now give me your hand. And we're going to pray that Jesus comes into your heart. And you know, and they give their life to Jesus. We say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And you just ask God, Father, release the glory of God. Father, release the Holy Spirit. Father, release healing into their mind, their body, their soul, their emotions. And you declare what God puts in your heart for them. And then you leave and you let the Holy Spirit do it. Because every day God wants to use you to bring people into the kingdom. But you need to understand that the only time is now. Even as you're listening, right now God wants to encounter you. God is not the God of yesterday or tomorrow. If you're living in the past, you're depressed. In the future, you're anxious. But here and now, all of God's power, all of God's glory, all of God's love, all of God's kingdom is available to you. Whatever you need, we can declare a thing and it will be done. We release the healing and the glory of God to wash over you now. Last night, the Lord was releasing tidal waves of God's glory. Tidal waves of God's glory. Tidal waves of God's glory. Everything we see on earth is a reflection of heaven. So, Father, like you did last night, just to everyone, impart those tidal waves of God's glory and God's healing.
Yes, Lord, manifest your glory, especially to the ones that say, nothing happens to me. Manifest your glory. Manifest your love. Manifest your presence.
And unbelief is a barrier. It's a blockage for God. Let him knock that down and know that he wants to do it for you.
Amen. God is no respecter of person. God is no respecter of person. I hear someone say, I'm too far gone. Oh, no, you're not. That's a lie from hell. You are not too far gone. They were on a cross next to Jesus, and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was not too far gone. At the last moment, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He was new, not too far gone, and you're not too far gone. You are not too far gone. You are ripe for the kingdom of God. You are ripe. Listen to the word today. You are ripe for the kingdom of God. Today. Today he stands at the door and knocks. He stands at the door and knocks. The door of your heart. Revelation 3:20. And anyone who opens the door, I will come in and sup with them. Today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday, not anywhere, but today. Today for you, for you. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. I remember in the second grade, I was in public school, but on Sunday we went to Sunday school. And I remember Sister Devota Marie saying that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. The only thing you need to do is to invite him in, because the doorknob is on your side. Second grade, 7 years old, she gave me the gospel. Second grade, 7 years old, gave me the gospel. This is real. You might be 93, and you've never really given yourself to Jesus. I remember when I was doing parish visitation as a seminarian, I remember going into the house of a woman who was in her 90s, and she said to me, "I'm too old for that." I said, "Honey, you're not even a baby as compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is eternal. You're not even a baby. God wants you. He loves you." And she invited Jesus into her heart that day. She was not too old. And you know what? You're not too young either. You're not too young. Not too young, not too old. You're just right. And we pray for people who are ripe, R-I-P-E, that in their being ripe, they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to any other gospel, not to Madame Fufu, who tells you your future, and she's connected to Satan himself.
Tell him her phone number, Father.
Her phone number is very easy to remember. 1-800-GO-TO-HELL.
And just like Father was in seventh grade, God is simple. And the closer we get to God, the more simple our lives become. The gospel is very simple. How God tells you to live your life is very simple. Just trust in God, tell people about Jesus, and let him do everything for you. If you have confusion and chaos in your life, it's because it's not of God. God can do anything with a simple soul. That is why we become like children. The other word was receive. It was believe and receive last night as God was releasing his power. Just believe and receive. I see the glory of God flowing over the airways into you now. But do you believe and receive? Because unbelief is like a gate. It's a barrier. And it blocks what God wants to do. But when you believe and receive, it opens the gates of heaven over your life. God does not affect our free will. God gives us free will to accept or reject, to believe or unbelief. We can have all the faith that Jesus is God, but without trust in God, that faith is sterile. It is only trust in God that lets us bear fruit. It is humility, knowing that we are nothing and God is everything. God can only lift the humble soul. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Gazing upon the eyes of Jesus, because what we gaze upon, we become. As we gaze upon Jesus, we become the Lord Jesus on this earth because he begins to live within us. We want to be. Father said too that there's someone you feel so too far gone. You know what? It is good. Because why did Jesus say, "I spit out the lukewarm, I desire that you be hot or that you be cold"? Because people who are hot need God. I need God every second of the day. People who are cold, they know they need God because they are so broken and they are in such a place of desperation that they know they can no longer do it on their own, that they know they need the Lord Jesus. The people who are lukewarm, who are good people because you go to church once a week and you check the boxes, you don't need Jesus. You have it all figured out. And with those people, Jesus can do nothing. Jesus wants you on fire or cold as ice. Because when you're cold as ice, you know you need the heat of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And I see people, especially one person, man, who has sinned, and he thinks that his sin is unforgivable. Well, you know what? Don't count on it, because your sin is forgivable through the blood of Jesus. Your sin is forgivable. You said, "But I've done it over and over and over again." I see women who have had abortions, and they are in grief, and they think that they are not be able to be touched by the Lord Jesus. I tell you, if you had 6 abortions, the Lord wants to touch you, wants to touch you because he loves you. He does not want to see you in pain. He does not want to see you in anguish. He does not want to see you in agony. The Lord wants to touch you. He called you out of the wilderness today and into the field with the green grass grows and a beautiful creek, flowing water, living water that wants to ignite you, flow through you, touch you, change you. You see, you can't change yourself. That's just the way it is. You've been trying to change yourself, and you're always behind the eight ball.
There is a river
that flows from God above. There is a fountain that's filled with God's great love. Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman. She came drawing at the well. Then she met the master. Her joy no tongue could tell. He told her of the water that she would drink, and then, because of its great power, she would never thirst again.
For I see you, and I know you, declares the Lord. For those living waters will come bubbling up out of your innermost being. For you have been thirsting for the things of the world. You have been thirsting for the love. But the love of God has been poured out into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Right now, by my Spirit, says the Lord, I am going to begin to encounter you, to heal you, to set you free. For Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart, and the love of heaven is being released to you now. I speak healing into broken hearts. I speak every plan of the enemy, I command it to break in Jesus' name. I speak every stronghold in your mind to melt away in the glory of God. Because in the glory of God, in the atmosphere of heaven, nothing of this earth, nothing of the devil can remain. For I have come, says Jesus, to give you life and life abundantly. For I have come to give you rest. For I have come to give you healing and a new life. For many of you, your new life will begin today by the power of my Spirit. For when the Holy Spirit lives within you, it begins to guide your life. It begins to protect you, and it begins to heal you. For I will never leave you orphans. I will never abandon you, even till the end of time. Surrender to me because you have a good Father in heaven, and it is your Father's good will to supply you the greatest gifts. The gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of God's love, the gifts of God's provision. For I have your life written for you, and I have it planned. Come to me, and I will give you rest.
And you will receive the rest and the peace that you have been looking for. You've tried to get that peace, in all the wrong places, and every place was a dead-end street. I am talking about Jesus. No dead-end street. Living water flows from his sacred heart. Living water, and the peace that the world cannot give flows from his heart for you. For you, I see you, and the light of God is upon you, lighting you up. It is the presence of God now, because he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. I have graven you on the palms of my hands, and you are mine. May his name be praised. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.